Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 877-44-TRUTH or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, one thing I think we can all relate to is struggle. When you struggle in your life, whether it's at home, maybe with a child, with your spouse, maybe your struggle is with your work, maybe your struggle is with your health, maybe your struggle is with your finances, whatever it is, it's something that we can all relate to. And even as Christians, I think most of us struggle to, we know God's Word, we've been studying God's Word, we have a relationship with the Lord. But oftentimes we need a helping hand. We need something that God has. Listen, he's assembled us together as a body. He's assembled us to help one another, to confess our sins to one another, to love one another, serve one another, lead one another. He gives some to be teachers and some to be preachers and some to be expositors and so on and so forth. And oftentimes when you get stuck in a rut, you just need somebody to offer you a hand and help you with some tools and some, okay, I need some things that I can do. You need something to focus on, and you need a friend. And oftentimes it helps if that friend, if you want to go look at the second Corinthians chapter 1, talking about that you use the struggles you've been through to be a blessing to other people who have also suffered the same thing. So all of a sudden, those challenges, those travails, those struggles of your life, which in, when you're in the middle of them, and I can attest to this myself, you sit there and think, what's the point? But on the other side of it, that becomes a testimony, that becomes a tool that God uses through your experience to then minister to other people that have struggled in the same way. And that's the way it works. In God's economy, nothing gets wasted. Well, Stephen Scoggins is an old friend of the show and a good friend of mine, Journey Principles, and he's been down a lot of roads himself. He's been on the show before. He's guest hosted the show before,
yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
So now I've got you back in your place on the other side of the table.
Where I belong, probably.
But Stephen, it's great to have you. Welcome back to Call to Action.
Oh, man, dude, I'm always excited to hang out with you, brother.
It's always fun. We always have a good time. And FYI for people to know, Stephen and I both have a history of being entrepreneurs, so we don't play well in the sandbox because we're used to just getting in there and let's go get this done. And God takes kind of loudmouth, brash people like us, and he puts us in certain places where he can use us. But before we get into Journey Principles and all that God's been doing there, and we talked about it when this really was given birth a little over a year ago.
Yeah, just under a year ago.
And God was doing a thing in your life. And then we're going to talk specifically today about the Life Kit, which is a free resource that Journey Principles is making available for everybody. But before we do that, Stephen, I think it's really important for people to know kind of your own story, because then they'll understand how God has birthed this vision in you and how he's using you. And also something new that's exciting that I just found out about is God has opened a door for Stephen to share and be a part of things that the USO is doing to serve our military community, which is totally awesome. But let's go back in time and so people can understand kind of where this passion came from, Stephen, and you to help other people that were struggling, be it addiction or whatever.
Doodly 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 doo. Back yes. In time, right?
Yep. There we go.
Well, it started a long time ago, but I think my pivotal moment was actually sitting atop the Capitol Boulevard Bridge that overlooks 440.
Here in Raleigh,
ready to take my own life. And an unction of the Spirit had me reach out to an old friend who passed away in 2012 from breast cancer. Her nickname was Mama Wama.
Yeah.
And she was a phenomenal woman, had been there for me over and over again as I was growing up after my own parents, unfortunately, were struggling with their own issues growing up throughout life. And I just remember being cold. I remember sitting atop the rail. I remember watching the breath escape my mouth. I remember feeling about all the hurt and the failure and the resentment and bitterness and all kinds of things that just kind of come to me as a culmination of, unfortunately, not getting into the military. Now, for most people, ironically, you think about what I'm doing now, but ironically, for most people, getting into the military is not a big deal. But when you take a high school dropout who's failed at everything up until that point, at least they feel like they have, and then you can't get into the military, and in 1998,
everybody could get in.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so in that moment in time, I thought I was going to be a permanent failure. I thought I was a burden to my family, my friends. Most of the people in my life had no idea that I was sleeping in and out of cars. They had no idea I was in that process because I didn't tell them. I was too ashamed, too much guilt, too much everything riding on my shoulder. So I put everything into my ability into trying to get into the military. And lo and behold, I go sit down, and a guy comes in, looked just like Tom Cruise with a big mustache and slick back hair and the whole deal, and offered no comfort. And he's just like, sorry, brother. Now, this is the day I'm supposed to leave.
Oh, man.
This is after training with some local guys. I had a local frogman up in, used to have a dive shop off of Six Forks Road. Not too terribly far. We did that premiere for the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which was awesome. Yeah. Oh, man, loved it. Kids just watched that recently. They
awesome.
Loved it. Yeah. And this Woodlawn Pug, still a great movie. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it, period. But anyway, yeah, so I trained and trained and trained. I was in the best physical shape I could have possibly ever been in my life. Like, I was better shape then than I am now. And I still work out like crazy.
Yeah.
You know, but for whatever reason, that day was unlike any other day. Like I said, I had started out that day with true, like, yahoo, we're going to the military. Not knowing, obviously, that I was going to get off the bus and get yelled at or something. But, you know, we spent all that time training, trying to get ready. And I go sit down with this guy. He brings me, takes me out of the class of this other, well, I said call it class because the desk used to look like they had the little U shape. Like,
oh, yeah,
high
yeah,
school,
you yeah. kind of slip into that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so I'm sitting in one of those things. He brings me out, takes me out the building, walks me down the hallway, sits me down, and just basically says, hey, man, one, your ASVAB score is too low. And two, we found scoliosis in your spine in your medical eval. So, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to let you in. And because you're not, originally I was like thinking ASVAB, like, okay, I'll just retake the test.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, now I'd already taken the test like four times. Because at that time, if you had a GED, you had to score higher than someone with a diploma, which is, I never could figure out.
Yeah.
I still don't understand it. But anyway, things have changed since then. But, you know, so we go through that. And then he says, well, the medical thing is, dude, you want to be a SEAL? You want to go into special ops? And because I was trying to get in the Navy, and he said, it's just not going to happen. You know, I walked out the door. I managed to hold back my tears all the way. Walked out the door, walked up the street, and MEPS is still not too far from the Capitol Boulevard Bridge. You know, and I felt like I'd been walking for hours. It probably was only 15 or 20 minutes. You know, but I got up to the bridge, and all I could hear walking up to the bridge was how much life sucked, how much failure I'd done. You know, I hadn't done well. I'd walked off a job site for a man who tried to give me a shot with a construction business, Steve Meyer. We've talked about him before on the show.
Yeah.
And that was my last ditch effort. At least I thought it was, you know. And as I go on to the bridge, I reach out the phone, old Nokia 5160, broken yellow screen phone, broken antenna. My grandmother was actually trying to hook me up. And, you know, I don't know, man. That's kind of where we got started.
And Mama Wama
saved the day.
Yeah, and how God used her. We're going to talk about that when we come back, and then we'll jump forward and see what God has done with all the struggles and all the pain, and then the victory, and now the ministry. This is Steve Noble with Stephen Scoggins here on Call to Action Radio. We'll be right back after this. Radio freshman talking right over it, because as soon as the music starts, Stephen Scoggins, the Journey Principles, the mics are hot. I love
bad.
The look on your face right now. That's so beautiful. My bad. Sorry. That's all right. That's okay. Plenty of grace and mercy on Call to Action. Want to know why?
Hey, it's good music.
Because it's me.
That's
so
right. It's your show. Shut up.
No, it's not even that. It's just that I'm such a moron and mess so many things up that unless people had a lot of grace and mercy, there would be nobody listening. But there's thousands of people listening, which we're grateful for. So that's just a grace and mercy. I'm like, do not throw rocks in a glass house.
Man,
so, like, if people ever come on and embarrass me on the air, I can't complain. Because I've put so many people in a compromised position just by embarrassing them or bringing something up or teasing people. I'm relentless at teasing people. And so when it comes back around, I'm not so prideful anymore that I'm like, hey, I'm like, hold on a second. I think I've done that plenty of times myself.
Bad.
Yeah, when my boomerang comes back and hits me in my head, I'm the one that threw it in the first place. Right?
So, that's right.
We're talking to Stephen Scoggins, the Journey Principles, thejourneyprinciples.com. We're going to get to something called the Life Kit, which is just a great tool to help you overcome your struggles and kind of step by step, and some great tools there. And what God has done in Stephen's life, and Stephen as a good steward is turning around and has a passion now for using everything that the Lord has taught him through his word and through his experience to share with others and to help point the way. And I love what you always say when it comes to journey principles. Your journey, we're all on a journey, God's principles. So everybody's life is different. Everybody's life looks different. There is no template for everybody. But when you apply God's principles to anybody's life, that's when things start to change. And that was certainly true for you. So there you were. You couldn't even get into the military back in the day when it wasn't that difficult to get in. And there you are. You're here in Raleigh, North Carolina on an overpass, a very busy street. Thinking it's about time to end, because at that point it just seemed hopeless. Is that where you were?
I'd lost all essence of hope, and that's one of the reasons that Journey Principles exist.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people can relate to that.
I think more than not.
And I'm glad that you mentioned the fact that you didn't tell anybody, because that's what we do. We go into isolation.
Yeah.
And isolation is always destruction.
Yeah.
And so you don't tell anybody, and so you're just kind of there in the darkness. But Mama Wama, tell us about. I've always loved that. Tell us about Mama Wama, and then we'll keep moving forward.
Yeah, you know, Susan Batts, who's no longer with us, unfortunately, she knew me like she was the only person on the planet. And people, when I tell you the only person on the planet, I mean the only person on the planet that could talk me off that bridge. Because I respected her enough to know that if she made me make her a promise that I would call her the next morning at 9 a.m. Now, she had to fight for that promise, but she got it through.
Yeah.
And she was the only person on the planet that I'd done that for. The only one. Coincidentally, she's the only one that actually picked up the phone. Think about that.
Yeah. How about that?
Right? So she, and then I remember something that rings in my head all the time. Every time I'm about ready to give up, every time I'm about ready to lose hope again, it's this too shall pass, and what comes next will be greater.
Yeah.
And from that moment, about 3 weeks later, after giving my life to the Lord, believe it or not, at the litter box. That's a whole other story.
That's a whole other story.
We don't have enough time for that one.
The salvation at the litter box
story. And all the dirty tootsie rolls in the litter box.
Which is a great one. It's a great story.
You know, but I gave my life to the Lord, and I never looked back. And 3.5 weeks later, give or take, I started Custom Home Exteriors here in the area, one of the largest siding companies in the area that, ironically, no one knew until I actually did the first radio show with you about a year ago that I was actually sleeping in cars and stuff when I started that business, and it's now one of the largest ones in the area. We function in 3 different states currently, and have a team of about 350-60 people.
Yeah.
Give or take across 3 states.
It's an incredible story.
It is. And you know, and that alone has allowed me to have the foundation to do what I love doing. I learned during building the business, the greatest thing I needed to continue doing is building myself.
Yeah.
And once I was able to do that, I figured out how to try to replicate that model. Because I realized that if you build the people, everything else takes care of itself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that the business is not necessarily about siding and new construction. It's about the people behind it and doing all of those things. And if you serve your people and teach your people and love your people well, it's amazing how that works every time it's tried. But then, so, what all of a sudden, because take us into the world of Journey Principles, because this started about a year ago. And what happened that you just had all this contained inside of you? And obviously you're an entrepreneur, but what kind of finally snapped that you're like, okay, I got to take all this, what God's done, and I got to start sharing it?
Well, honestly, it was actually during another one of the worst times in my life. I went through a divorce in 2012, that I didn't really want. It was something that's, for lack of a better word, everyone who goes through a divorce knows how painful that is to anyone. Trying to choose whether or not to do it, trying to choose not to whether or not to do it. The circumstances that go in it are different from everybody. And one of the things I promised I would do is I would spend about 6 months working on me. So I spent time working out and then writing and then going to work. I spent time with God writing, accountability groups, hanging out with good people of great character. And a couple of the guys had said, hey, you should write a book about all your stories. You've literally lived like 9 or 10 lives in one. And I hadn't really thought about it. You know, I was just like, man, I'm just living life. I'm trying to do the best I can. And I got a successful business. So I'm going through a divorce. This sucks. You know, but at the same time, I lost my identity again going through the divorce all over again.
Yeah.
You know, I tied my self-esteem or my self-value to my marriage rather than to the God that created me, you know. And that led me down a whole dark path. But well, as we were going through the separation phase, I started writing the Journey Principles book. Now, it wasn't the Journey Principles at the time. Originally, it was my journal. You know, it was a journal of short stories. Yeah. It was, you know, I remember the very first story I ever wrote that I was actually kind of like, man, this has got something in it. It was called, What Does It Take to Change the Essence of a Man? Because in my heart of hearts, I love God I was already walking. I already loved God then, which was made the divorce that much more difficult, you know?
Sure.
And I love God. But yet I'm still trying to figure out, what does it take to change the essence of a man? What does it take to change me? How come I'm stuck? Why do I keep going back to these same forces I have, these same areas, these same struggle points in life? Why am I always constantly at a crossroads? How come I continually lose hope? You know, why do I continually go through this moments of despair?
Yeah, yeah.
And exuberance. It's just like, and that's where it started at. And then lo and behold, I was at an event, a Dave Ramsey event called Entree Leadership. This has been years ago, back in 2012. Just won an award with them about the Momentum Theory. And we're the first person business owner they had ordained with that, which was a blessing. But yet I felt empty on the inside. And here I am getting awarded by one of the most well-known people in the world. And I'm lost. And I'm hurting, you know. And I remember I sat down with a guy named John Acuff, who's no longer with Ramsey. I remember he was a coach, and I just sat down and said, look, man, I got these guys that say I should totally write a book, and I'm trying to figure out if I should. And he said, well, tell me some of the stories. So he gets up 20 minutes late, I might add, to his next appointment, slaps the door on the way out the door as he runs and says, oh, you should totally write the book. You know, and that's how the book got started.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing about that, and when we come back from the break, before we start talking about the life kit, the Journey Principles life kit, which you can get free, by the way, and I put that up on the Facebook page just a little while ago. But when we come back, I want to read this letter from a gentleman named Colton Klingon, who is he's somebody that just got a hold of the book. And the point of all of this, and this isn't to lift Stephen Scoggins up, it's really to lift the Lord up. Because and every one of us has a story.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of us is on a journey. Every one of us has been into some dark places in our lives. And when we turn around, and especially on the other side, when God has brought us through it, to keep that to ourselves, we have to be a good steward of our affliction.
Yeah, that's right.
So when God allows you to go through something, it's not for nothing. It's, mm-hmm. it's not for naught. He wants to turn around and in his economy use it not only to bless you, but to bless others, to help others, to lead others, and ultimately to glorify himself. So when we come back, Stephen, I'm going to read this story, this little letter you got from Colton, which I think this was the first testimonial you got.
It's not the first one, but it's the first one that made me cry.
Yeah, oh, well, that makes
like
it
a baby.
Yeah, like a baby, which is hard to believe. But when we come back, because Stephen's not a wimpy guy, he's kind of a tough workout kind of guy. But when we come back, I'm going to read that, and then we're going to talk about Life Kit here on Call to Action. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you today. Here with my friend Stephen Scoggins, the Journey Principles, journeyprinciples.com. And then eventually, we're going to start talking about the Life Kit in here just a couple of minutes. But I wanted to read, Stephen shared this with me. This is a testimony letter from a gentleman who was in the Hamilton County Jail February 27th, just this year, just recent. He dated it just recently. And so this is what happens. And I'm reading this not to lift up Stephen or to lift up the Journey Principles, although it's God's really using that in a powerful way. I'm reading this to lift up your story because you have one. And whether you agree with that statement or not, if you go deep down, I think you know that God has brought you through some things. You might be in the middle of something right now. Odds are, you know, we all heard those sayings that you're either in one, are coming out of one or about to go into one, a trial or a struggle, whatever it is. But when we keep that to ourselves and we don't share that at any point in that journey, obviously what we're doing is short-circuiting what God wants to do with that. And so other people don't benefit because we're not willing to share. And God puts us in community for that reason. So this is a letter that Stephen received just a couple weeks ago. I'm currently in jail waiting to be sentenced. I could be looking at a long time. Only God knows. I came here strung out, underweight, homeless, and messed over everybody in my family. Upon getting here, I filled out to go to church just to get out of my cell, and the chaplain brought me your book. He does not give it to everybody. Only God knows why he chose me, but I read it for a couple of days, and it started getting to me. I called my pregnant wife I was separated from for me not being faithful and started talking to her again. Kept reading and decided to write the family I had done wrong and told them I was truly wrong. Started praying and the church class I filled out for skipped to the bottom of the list and put me in a class that Sunday. I got saved that day and have turned my life around more than I could have ever imagined. Since then, my wife and I are back together and have a baby boy. My relationship with my family is 100 times better than ever. I'm reading the Bible and living better too. Court is looking better than previously thought. Your book saved my life and led me to God. If nobody has told you what you're doing matters, it does. Hope this makes it to you. And it did.
Yeah.
And the thing that happens with these things, and every once in a while I'll get something, an email or whatever. Oftentimes, and you've put a lot of work into Journey Principles and in the book and everything, Stephen, and oftentimes, do you ever stop and wonder, well, why am I doing this? Like, what's all this work for? Because God doesn't always give you a letter in the mail to show you what he's doing.
Yeah.
But every once in a while.
You know, it's funny. When we started this journey to actually build the Journey Principles and the Journey Principles Institute, it started as a book. And then the outcry, we went from 12 people on our social media platforms to hundreds, or not hundreds of thousands, but thousands in a very short amount of time, which said there was a need. There was enough need out there where people were actually wanting the information. And you know what? I had it. Therefore, if I had the information, it was within in my God-given responsibility to get it into their hands, period.
Yeah.
So that's how we got started with the whole thing. But then, you know, a year later, the platform itself that Journey Principles has become has been miraculous. I mean, there's stuff that myself and the team cannot explain, which we know God is at the heart of it.
Amen.
And I've had numerous dreams and numerous things where I've been praying and things of that nature. I feel ultimately called to this. In other words, I can't turn away. I can't walk away. I can't turn my head. I can't. You know, so to me, no matter how many hours it is, and whatever, all the work that we put in, the investment, the financial investments, the coaching, the one-on-one consultations, the working with the military, which has been phenomenal, helping guys with PTSD, you name it, it's all worth it.
Yeah,
I think if anyone is actually paying an ultimate price for it, it would be my family, my wife, and whom I dearly love, Karen, love you, baby, and my two boys. You know, because for the last 2 months, I haven't gotten home before 7 or 8 o'clock at night. So much so that Debbie had to change my schedule to get me home.
Takes the toll.
Yeah, it does.
It takes the toll. But, you know, when you have a kingdom-minded marriage, and my wife's in a very similar position, I travel a fair amount and have a lot going on. But she sees what the Lord is doing.
Oh, yeah.
And ultimately, it's not my life. Mm-hmm. It's not my time.
That's right.
Those aren't my children. You know, we're stewards of all
right.
of it. And so we have to invest wisely. Well, let's talk about the life kit, but I also want to ask you about the USO. Which one do you want to talk about first?
Oh, man, it's up to you. It's your show, buddy.
All right, let's do the USO because this is really cool because talk about struggles and dark days. There's a lot of people in the military, and I would say the majority, especially when it comes to marriage, that are really struggling. So how did God open a door for you to begin to be able to share the Journey Principles with our folks in the military?
Dude, I have to be completely honest. I thought God for sure was going to take us to the churches and take us to the business sector. Why? Because I've had the most experience
there. Yeah.
And then I get a buddy of mine. His name is Josh Bledsoe. He's my publicist. He's an amazing guy. He's actually sitting in the JP office right now plugging away on emails.
Cool.
And, you know, he's an awesome guy. He developed a relationship, led me to a woman named Kelly Davis. Kelly, if you're out there, you rock, girl. Appreciate you, everything you're doing. And they invited me to become – actually – at the last minute, they had a speaker cancel about almost a year ago this time last year. And Kelly reached out to me and said, well, would Stephen be willing to fill the spot? So I had about 48 hours of prep time, and then I popped down to the USO and filled a spot for something called Warrior Reset. Now, Warrior Reset is a powerful program. It's an amazing program. It helps people that are coming out of the military transition back into civilian life. What people don't realize is that not only is the soldier or soldierette, whichever word you want to call it, are coming out of the military, their whole life changes. They're so used to structure, all the kind of stuff that goes with that. Some of them have seen live action, live ammo, some world wartime, all the PTSD that goes with that. A lot of the families have gotten used to living kind of on their own, even though that their spouse or whatever is kind of away. So there's a lot of reacclimation. And most of the vets that come out, there was a pretty high suicide rate, and really still is, regarding vets specifically. So the program was originally launched, my understanding is, a good ways back to help rebuild those relationships and create the bridge, if you will, going back into the civilian life. Well, Journey Principles was a very God opened a door. Like I said, I thought we were going to the business and the church sector. I did. That's where I thought he was taking us.
Sure.
That's where I had the most experience. Lo and behold, he sends me back to the military, where originally I didn't think I was good enough to get in, which I thought was I just had that pivot moment right when you and I were talking off air, and I was like, man, this reminds me of St. Patrick.
Yeah, got out, then back in.
Yeah, so, you know, I've been helping the USO now for a little while. So now I go and speak quite a bit with the USO, both on the Spouse Reset, which is an amazing program, and as well as the Warrior Reset. So they're great people. It's a great program. If you don't know much about the Warrior Reset or the Spouse Reset or the USO of North Carolina, or the USO in general, get involved. Because I realize we're not just talking about North Carolina. Get involved. They could use the help. They could use the financial benefit. And they actually have programs that are actually helping Americans reacclimate to life.
Yeah, pretty awesome. So why do you think, I mean, being in that environment and now, you know, you're getting more involved with the USO, what is it about your story and the way that you communicate when you're there, Stephen, that God is using to connect in such a powerful way with people that have served and are coming out of the military? What are the contact points there?
Dude, God only knows really for himself, but I would like to say it's because of the substantial suffering that I did go through early in life. Some of that by choice and some of it not. But I can understand what it feels like to want to take your life. I can understand what it feels like to hurt so bad to feel like it's never going to stop. I can understand that. You know, so I'm able to resonate and talk about those things, but also do it from the other side. Guys, don't give up. All you got to do is stay in the fight a little bit longer. The greatest war you've ever fought was not overseas. It's right in your own head.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's get serious. Come on, let's do this. And then the journey principles and myself, we spend time intentionally trying to hand walk them, giving them tools, a life kit, giving them resources, giving them the speaking, giving them what they need to take a step forward out of darkness and towards the light, which is what we're going to be doing later on this year. In the September, we're going to have Light Up the Darkness with the USO.
Yeah, which is totally cool with the USO, yeah. And it's amazing. We were talking off the air, and I said, well, back then when the military said, no, you can't get in, you've got this problem and this problem, the Lord said, you can't get in yet. That's because he wasn't done preparing you for serving the military,
right.
Which now you're getting a chance to do that, which is totally awesome. Well, tell us about the Life Kit. I put these things, friends, back up on the Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A Radio, so you can get there. And check out not just the book, The Journey Principles, but the Life Kit. So what's the Life Kit all about?
Well, the Life Kit is a couple different things. So one of the things that kept coming out of The Journey Principles as a whole through the social media platforms and the emails and all this kind of stuff was people like, how do I? And you try to put together things that make a difference. And I'm learning the ebooks and all that kind of stuff, while they're very good resources, because of our fast-paced economy and what's going on and what we're trying to do life-wise, they need something they can listen to, watch, that kind of deal. So the Life Kit is the first six steps I took to get out of the darkness. It's the first six steps. It's a video. It's also a little exercise that you can do, and you do it at your own pace. And the best part of it is I do it with you. Like, I tell you, this is, and I walk it through, and I remind people during the Life Kit, I was like, take your time. If you're not ready for the next step, don't worry about it. It's still there waiting. Don't rush towards it. Right? But becoming self-aware, becoming understanding who you are and how you're made up and what God has really got inside of you, the toxicity that needs to get out, right? The hate, any kind of hate, guilt, shame, that kind of stuff, it's garbage. And the longer it stays wrapped up in your head, the longer it takes to break free. And the reality is God does not want you there.
Yeah, that's right.
He wants you to let it go, and the Life Kit can actually help you do it.
Yeah, He came to make us free, and free indeed. Yeah, and it's amazing what happens when you start, and I say this often, God's way works every time it's tried.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work right away, and sometimes you have to work through it in order to see it work. And that's what with the Life Kit and everything you've done. I mean, I've read the Journey Principles, and the thing that I love about it, and I think why God is using it, because it's right down on the level.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, I don't listen to people that are overly polished or that I think are not transparent. They haven't shared their problems with me, and so I tend to go, well, I can't relate to them,
yeah.
And they definitely can't relate to me, so I tune them out.
That's right.
But in this case, you're just a guy that's been down some dark roads.
That's
like
right.
Like most of us have. You
that's
just
right.
took the time to share it. Stephen Scoggins, The Journey Principles. A couple more thoughts when we come back, and we'll finish it up with Stephen. Hold on there, friends. We'll be right back. See? You can't believe it, can you? Do you know who this is? Yeah. Now he's Stephen Scoggins, The Journey Principles. Headbanging, except he doesn't have any hair, so you don't have any hair flying around. You can't quite pull it off.
I can shed.
This has got to be the only Christian radio show that would ever go so far as to play Metallica.
Hey, they need Jesus. Come on now.
They definitely. We all need Jesus, but Metallica might need him a little more than most. But and a lot of times I use that stuff just to get people's attention. You definitely know the commercials are over. when all of a sudden you're like, what?
And you're back awake.
You check your thing. Okay, well, I'm listening. It's Truth Radio here in North Carolina. Yep, that's the Christian station I was just listening to. What is this stuff? Okay, well, it's just reminding you that, yes, you're back. It's Steve Noble. Call to Action Radio here with Stephen Scoggins. So talking about several things, the Journey Principles, which I put up on the Facebook page, which is the book that God led Stephen to write. So Journey Principles is there. And then, of course, we're talking about the Life Kit, which has, let me just recap this. Six lessons really to help you with some real practical steps to do your part in pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. Of course, God enables all of that. And that comes in the form of, that's like an email. Is that right?
It's actually several. It's several. And the reason we did that is because it takes time to digest the information. In fact, the information is so sound that our accounting staff wanted us to charge for it. And I refused to do it because I'm like, everybody and their brother's out there trying to sell a widget or trying to sell something, and everybody. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be the guy that actually gives them a seed that they can go plant.
Yeah, and God will provide for you, and you're faithful. God takes care of the fruitful part.
He's been good to me so far.
Yes, he has, and so it's important to remember that God is always batting 1,000, and you can bank on that. And again, patience, perseverance, long-suffering, which is the fruit of the Spirit, we need to remember that. But also, this is also leading down the road. Two other things I wanted to mention real quick. The Online Institute, because you're doing all kinds of stuff with the website, the Journey Principles website. Tell us about the Online Institute, and then I want to ask you real quick about what you're doing with the USO this fall.
Yeah, no worries. So real quick, I'm going to try to make this as brief as possible.
That's right. I'll cut you off if you don't.
You probably need to, right? The Journey we're launching the Journey Principles University. No, this is not what you're going to hear in the media about. We're not going to get in trouble and all this kind of stuff, right?
It's simply not Trump University.
Right? So we've got six. We're going to launch it with six lessons that are about an hour apiece. Now, each one of those lessons actually has additional help and resources and stuff like that. So what happened was I realized that people were still, even with the life kit, that's like the first step. That's really there. So for people that really want to catapult and kind of get moved past a hurdle kind of permanently and really kind of build a foundation to really build off of, then the university is kind of like the next step if they decide they want to do that. Not entitled to, they get the life kit regardless. It's like, how do we help them the best? Period. Right. And what we're going to do is over the next year, we're going to have over 30 lessons. So once a month, we're going to add a brand new lesson.
Wow.
So in time, there will be so many lessons on there that you could study for years.
Well, and that's the point. I mean, our education is ongoing. We should never stop learning. And especially when you're trying to get out of old habits and create a new lifestyle, it takes time.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we all get stuck in the rut, and you have to do something pretty dramatic to get out of a rut, right? And
it takes
time to develop new habits.
Yeah.
And especially with the guidance of God's word, which, of course, is all in the middle of all of this. I wish we could wave a magic wand. It just doesn't exist. I mean, I just turned 50, and I'm still learning, and I'm still growing, and I feel like I've got a long way to go in my walk with the Lord, but that's the journey, which
yeah,
is why
right.
the journey principles.
The journey principles, your journey, God's principles, baby.
And it takes time. And I think where we run into trouble, Stephen, is that we assume, well, I'm going to get to some plateau and everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters called it undulation, the natural ups and downs of life. And the demons laugh at you when you think you can eliminate it.
Right.
Because you can't until the good Lord himself comes back and consummates everything. But until then, you're going to have ups and downs. And so it's a process. So the U.S. event vote, the situation with the USO, the event you're doing this fall, Light Up the Darkness. Tell us about that right quick.
Yeah. So real quick, we're going to have a national recording artist there. His name is Michael Tolcher.
And this will be here in the Raleigh area.
Raleigh area, Clayton. We've got a really good relationship with the Clayton Center, and they've decided to help us put on the event. Specifically, we've got another guy, Chris Hendricks, who some of you people know in the marketplace here in the Raleigh area. We're also going to live stream the event.
Oh, cool.
All right, so we also have Chris Hannibal, who is an amazing magician. The dude is so good, he'll make stuff disappear that you have your hands like clenched on. He did it to me.
That stuff's crazy, yeah.
It scares me sometimes. You know, and then it's all of it is to raise money for the USO of North Carolina.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So they can actually have the resources they need to put together some of these programs. Kelly's given me this massive vision of what Warrior Reset and Spouse Reset could be. Right now, they can only bring in 75 to 80 of our armed forces to actually teach them one at a time. Well, if you think about it, there's a whole lot more than that that are transitioning in and out of the military all the time.
Yeah.
So we have this vision of making something bigger where we can actually teach, empower, and encourage those military members in large scale, and also maybe one day might be national.
Well, there's a lot of, most people aren't aware, there's a lot of wreckage in the military life in terms of families and marriages. Their divorce rates are 75% and above. The suicide rates, all the bad stuff that's out there is way worse in the military. And listen, most of us wave the flags. Most of us, I believe, in our hearts really appreciate the military. How often we actually do something with that in order to support, in this case, financially, something like the USO. Well, that's where the real challenge comes in and where we have to put some feet to our faith and some feet to our patriotism and actually do something to help them. So we'll definitely circle back around when we get closer to that in September. Stephen Scoggins, The Journey Principles, thejourneyprinciples.com, and the Life Kit at jplifekit.com. I put all that up at the Facebook page. It's great seeing you, bro. Thanks for coming.
Likewise, buddy. I'll see you soon.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Okay, friends. All right, so I have to get up in your grill now, especially if you're in North Carolina or Florida or perhaps you're in Ohio. And because tomorrow, obviously, a big voting day. And now let's assume for a second this is actually over. Let's just assume it's done, that Donald Trump's going to be the Republican nominee, God help us, and Hillary Clinton's going to be the Democrat nominee, God help us again. And you're sitting there going, what's the point? So I'm going to address that today. And then tomorrow when I'm back on and have another guest tomorrow, but I'm not going to do the whole show because I want to talk about the fact that we're voting tomorrow, that it's the primary. And then on Wednesday, we'll come back and talk about the results. But listen, this is a matter of stewardship, and it's a matter of the parable of the talents. And what did you do with the talent that you've been given, right? And so you don't want to bury it. So tomorrow, if you're already registered to vote, and if you're not, you need to go out and get registered to vote so that you're ready in November. But to be registered to vote, I think, is taking this love of neighbor seriously. When people would ask Jesus, what are the greatest commandments? And, of course, they were trying to trick him. What are the greatest commandments? Well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I'm going to take that and go somewhere that I have found very few pastors willing to go. I actually think that it's a sin to not vote. And I know that might sound like the political gospel. It might sound like I'm raising up our citizenship above our citizenship in the kingdom. But let me just play this out for you real quickly. We are ultimately, listen, I am a Christian that happens to live in the United States of America. Okay, my ultimate citizenship, my primary citizenship is in the kingdom of God, and I try to live that out every day, imperfectly, but moving in the right direction, along obedience in the same direction. Bonhoeffer, I think, might have said that. But now we're called to love the Lord your God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father, but if you don't, I won't. So there is a public aspect to our faith, and then the love your neighbor as yourself. In the United States of America, we live in a system where we have a right, and I would say an obligation, especially as a Christian, to try to better the culture in which we live because, number one, we love God, and we're trying to testify to his truth, just like Jesus said. Jesus said that in Pontius, for this reason I came, and for this reason I was born, to testify to the truth. That's what he said in front of Pontius Pilate, to which Pontius Pilate replied, "What is truth?" Okay, so we have the truth. And we need to testify to that truth. One place you can testify to it is in the voting booth. Whether your vote swings an election or not is irrelevant. Your desire to take God's truth into the public arena and at least try to impact the world around you shows allegiance to God, but it also shows love for your neighbor. Listen, a lot of people don't vote. I mean, the numbers are horrible. Most statistics will show you 50% of Christians don't vote, 25% vote in a presidential election, 12% in an off-year election, and only 5% in a primary. And that's pathetic. And I think this would fall under James, to know what is right and not do it is a sin. So if I ask you, should you stand up for God's truth in the public arena, I think you know the answer is yes. Now, you have to do that with grace. We really missed the boat on that one. I've shared this before, too, from Tim Keller. If you're all truth and no grace, you're a bully. But if you're all grace and no truth, you're a coward. Jesus, John chapter 1, verse 14, full of grace and truth. It is interesting to me that grace precedes truth, but full of both of them, not 70-30, 60-40, probably 100-100, fully full of grace, fully full of truth, okay? And so we have to take our truth and we have to use grace, which most of us, and especially me, are bad at. So you take that truth in the voting booth for no other reason than to honor God, that you have his truth, that he's revealed his truth. You're one of his children, and you're going to take that out into the world for no other reason than to lay it at God's foot because you're a good steward of that talent, right? Or think of it like the guy on the side of the road. If we're going to look at the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? Let's take the parable of the Good Samaritan because all the religious people walk by. Yeah, I don't want to help him. What difference does it make? Yeah, he's a Samaritan. Forget it. I'm going to walk by. And they blew him off. But the Good Samaritan stops and helps him, takes action to help him. So let me put it this way. In this case, think of the guy on the side lying beaten and bloody and dying on the side of the road. That's our country. That's the United States of America. So do you just walk by? I used to. I mean, I didn't start voting until my late 20s. I didn't start praying for those in authority over us until a few years ago, maybe 5 years ago. But now we have to love this bloody and beaten country on the side of the road. We have the answers. God's given us the truth. So you go into the voting booth because you care about your neighbor. And you go in there and you at least try. And then you testify to God's truth in the same way by voting. So tomorrow, if you're registered, find out where you go. Find your polling place. Just go to your county board of elections and look it up. And go do what honors God. And what shows you care about your neighborhood. go vote. And then tomorrow when we're back on, I'll hold you accountable to it because you'll still have a couple hours after that. This is Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio. Tomorrow, a businessman trying to help out people running ministries. That's a tough one. God willing, I'll talk to you then.